Rabbi Shalom Rosner teaches in the Stone Beit Midrash program and serves as Rav of Congregation Beis Ephraim Yitzchak in Woodmere, New York. It is now my pleasure to introduce Rav Rosner.
On, it just beeped off. It's on. I'd like to start with a mashal that Rav Pinkus gives at the beginning of his Haggadah. It's not in your Makoros. And then we'll get into what we're going to discuss today. Rav Pinkus writes, "Es hashabasos v'hachagim efshar lavar b'shnei ofanim." We could go through every Shabbos and Yontif, every special moment in Jewish history that we have throughout the year, we could go through in one of two ways. Lehi chalel bahem, o la'amod min hatzad. To be included in them, or to stand on the side, to watch it happen. L'mashal, as Rav Pinkus is well known for his mishalim, I go to an airport. I go to the window, the large glass window, and I watch the airplanes take off. And it's inspiring and it's amazing, and I watch and I have this inner thrill. Suddenly I hear they call, flight number 6 is leaving. I walk up to the ticket counter, everybody's going through the turnstile, and I walk up there and I'm all ready, and then I go home. That's one experience. I had a thrill, but I stood on the side. And there's another person. Another person who goes, also goes to the airport, also has his bags packed, and goes to the window, and watches the airplanes, and is getting inspired. And when his plane is called, he goes to the ticket counter, and he walks through, and he gets on the airplane, and he goes up. That's somebody who not only watches from the side, but somebody who takes the experience, internalizes it, and makes it part of them, and goes up on the journey in the plane. V'chein ha'inyan, said Rav Pinkus, b'yamim ha'kadoshim. The same applies to every holy day. Efshar la'amod l'histakev le'hanos b'yafyo shalayom. We could stand and watch the beauty of the day. Hari kol echa ne'aneu misragish v'nachanos l'pesach. Everybody, we all feel it's Pesach coming. The cleaning and the buying and the this and the everything's going on. The Erev Pesach, we're burning, and the Hachanas for the Seder, and we're cleaning the vegetables, everything we do. But we have to make sure that when the plane takes off, we're not watching the beauty from the outside. We have to do everything we can to really experience Yontif to its fullest, to make sure we're on that airplane taking off. And the best way to do that is to study, to appreciate, to make ourselves as prepared as we can for the Seder, for all the days of Yontif, in order to make ourselves have the full appreciation of the Chag when it comes. The experience of Pesach is a function of how much time we put into it beforehand. So that's why it's a privilege for all of us today here to be able to study machshavos, different thoughts for us to think about during the Seder, to give over at the Seder, and Be'ezus Hashem, in that way, we'll be able to have the full experience and take that journey up. Today's shiur, we'll be discussing one of the four mitzvos halayla. And if you remember, there are two biblical mitzvos, two mitzvos d'oraisa that we fulfill at the Seder, two mitzvos d'rabbanan, rabbinic mitzvos that we fulfill at the Seder. We do a lot of other things as well, a lot of minhagim, we also eat eggs, we also have karpas, but talking about mitzvos, two d'oraisas, two d'rabbanan that are unique to Pesach. We have Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, retelling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the mitzvah of matzah. Those are the two mitzvahs d'oraisa. And the two mitzvahs d'rabbanan are the dalad kosos, drinking the four cups of wine, and the eating maror, eating the bitter herbs. We're going to focus on number one, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, discussing what happened in Mitzrayim. First, we will briefly have a short discussion, a little conceptual analysis about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then we will have a more expansive approach discussing the structure of the Haggadah in general. Is it just a different bunch of paragraphs put together, or is there a common theme a thread, some type of journey that we're supposed to be going through, starting with Avadim Hayinu and ending at Hallel by the end of the Seder. That'll be the crux of the shiur. That'll be in part two, though. First, we will discuss a little conceptual analysis of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And let's just keep in mind, the Brisker Rav, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, said this is the most difficult mitzvah that we do each year. We think there are other mitzvahs that are difficult, but to feel as if, ki'ilu hu yatsami Mitzrayim, we have to feel at each one of us, went out of Mitzrayim, that's very difficult to feel. I could give Divrei Torah, and I could shake a lulav and esrog, I could hear the shofar, okay, those are relatively easy. But to have an inner feeling that I left Mitzrayim, that's somewhat difficult. Says the Brisker Rav, it's the hardest mitzvah of the year. So it behooves us to do everything we can to try to prepare ourselves to appreciate what this mitzvah is all about. It's blank, it's okay? Okay. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We know there's a mitzvah every single day and night of the year called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is what we say twice a day in Kriya Shema at the end of the third parsha. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That is a mitzvah all year round called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is, though, one night of the year that we have a special mitzvah called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Retelling the story. And many of the Mefarshim discuss what exactly is the relationship, are the similarities or the differences between these two mitzvos. The mitzvah of Sipur and the mitzvah of Zechira. If you look at source number two, we'll go back to source number one in a minute, the Emek Bracha. Rav Parmanchik discusses, he was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He says, what's the difference between Sipur and Zechira? So he quotes that Rav Chaim, every year, said this on Pesach. What are the differences between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? So he lists three differences, three which are really four. If you look at source number two, on the third line, about the fifth or sixth word, V'haya Omer, Shahachilut Bein Zechira LaSipur Hu Begimel Dvarim. There are three differences, said Reb Chaim, between the mitzvah of Sipur, which is only one night a year, and the mitzvah of Zechira, which is every night of the year. Chada 1, Shebizachira Ein Sarach El Lahaskil La'atzmo Yetzias Mitzrayim. We all say Kriya Shema to ourselves. The mitzvah of Zechira is saying it to myself. I have to mouth the words, but it's to myself. Avo Sipur Hu L'saper La'acher. It's to involve others. Sipur means telling others about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Zechira is just to myself. Number 2 is the next phrase, Derech She'ela Vitshuva. We all know that a main structure of the Seder is question and answer form. That's the best way to learn, question and answer form. You pique curiosity if you ask questions. Manishtana, we all ask questions throughout the Seder. We're asking questions, we're giving answers, questions and answers. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim all year is a statement. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Sipur must be in question and answer form. Zechira is just a statement. Difference number 3. Skipping down three lines from the bottom of the source, towards the end of the line, the Od Chiluk, another difference. Shebizachira ain't sarach el lahaskir yitzias Mitzrayim levada. Zechira is just mentioning that one moment that we left Mitzrayim. Not the entire process that happened before and after, but that one moment Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokecha b'sher yitzias chemeres Mitzrayim. While Sipur, avo besipur tzarech lesaper kol ha-hishtal shalashot, you got to start all the way from the beginning, and we continue all the way to the end. We start all the way at the beginning. We mentioned Kriyas Yamsuf. We mentioned the whole 10 Makos. We don't mention the 10 Makos every day. At least we might not have to. So that's a third difference between Zechira and Sipur. Question and answer form to yourself or to others. Do you have to say the whole process, or do you have to just focus on that one moment? And finally, the last one that the Emek Bracha says, second to last line, Va'oni Tosa Mitzvah Sipur. There's one more aspect of Sipur. L'saper ta'ameh ha-mitzvot shel osa ha-layla. I have to try to realize the appreciation, the ta'amim, the hashkafa, the reasons, the messages of what occurred. We don't just eat Pesach Matzah Umarah on the Seder night. But when we eat it, we say, matzah, al shumma, why do we eat this matzah? Al shumma, what's al shumma? Why? That's part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Delving into it, learning the messages. That's the part, as we'll see, one of the crucial parts of the Haggadah, Pesach Matzah Umarer. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is just mentioning what happened. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzei Yetzichem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's it, that's the statement. So far we have four differences. To ourselves or to others, question and answer form or a statement, just that one moment or the entire process. And the fourth is how deep we have to go into it. Do we have to give the whole background? Do we have to go give the Tami HaMitzvos? That's a specific mitzvah of Sipur, while Zechira is just mentioning it without giving the Tami. And then there's one more difference related to this section of the Shir. If you look at source number 3, the Rambam writes in his Sefer HaMitzvos, we know that all the Rishonim agree that there are 613 mitzvos. The machlokas is, what are those mitzvos? Some of the Achronim say that there's a Gemara at the end of Makos that is the source for this idea that there are 613 mitzvos. The Torah says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Torah is gematria 611, so Moshe gave us 611 mitzvos, and we got two straight from Hashem, Anochi en lo yiyah lecha lemacherim. So that's the source for 613. So it's amazing. There's a machlokas about everything in the world in Torah. There's a machlokas about. Whenever you hear a question, just say machlokas. It's bound to be right. And yet, this Agada, at the end of Maseches Makos, it had mazel, and everybody agreed that there were 613 mitzvahs. But all the Rishonim have their own counting, what is considered a mitzvah and what is not. The Rambam has his counting, the Ramban has his counting, the Sefer Achinuch has his, the Smag, all the different Rishonim have their counting. So if you look in the Rambam's list, in source number 3, the Rambam in mitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin 157, counts the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Says the Rambam, the Hamitzvah Hakufnun Zayin Hi Shetzivanu Lasaper BeYitzias Mitzrayim BeLeil Chamisha Asar BeNisan. It's a mitzvah to discuss our leaving Mitzrayim on the night of the 15th of Nisan, this Wednesday night, BeTchilas Halayla, at the beginning of the night, Kefitzachus Lashon Mesaper, to the best of our abilities, we have to discuss Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then it's different. Every other night of the year, we can learn whatever we want. Specifically this night, there's a special kiyum, a special fulfillment to study and to talk about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'chol ma'ase Yosef b'ma'amar v'yarech ha'dvarim b'hagdolas ma'ase asa lanu Hashem. What we say in the Haggadah, chol amar b'lasaper, as much as we do, harei zeh meshubach, that is great and that is wonderful and that is praiseworthy. So this is the Rambam in Mitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin. He counts the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the commentators are bothered. There is no mitzvah in all of the Rambam's mitzvah saseh of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam does not mention that mitzvah in his counting. In all 248 mitzvah saseh, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is not mentioned. And the commentators are puzzled. Why is this? This is a mitzvah. If the Rambam doesn't count it, there must be a reason. A reason that we can learn an idea, a message about the mitzvah, why the Rambam does not count it. There are a number of answers given to this question. Again, we're not having a shiur related to this. Some say that the mitzvah of Zechira, the ikur is in my heart, while Sipur is to tell over. Maybe the Rambam doesn't count mitzvahs of the heart. That's one suggestion made by one of the Achronim. We're going to suggest another answer, also from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. There was another machlokas Rishonim, seemingly out of left field, but we'll see how it connects. We know there's a mitzvah each and every day to recite Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, every day and every night. What exactly is the mitzvah de'oraisa of Kriya Shema? How much of Kriya Shema is de'oraisa? Whatever you answer is correct, because there are four different opinions in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say it's the first pasuk, maybe Baruch Shem also, but Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the Ramban says first pasuk, that's it. The rest obviously is part of the mitzvah, but that's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, the rabbis added that on to the mitzvah d'oraisa. That's one opinion. Then there's another opinion that even the first parsha is d'oraisa. Another opinion that even the second parsha is d'oraisa. And finally, the fourth opinion, is that of the Rambam, which we'll read in a minute in source number 4. All Kriya Shema is d'oraisa. Not just the first parsha, all three parshios, according to the Rambam, is part of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema each and every day. Says the Rambam in source number 4, Hilchos Kriya Shema. Pa'amayim b'chol yom, karin Kriya Shema b'erev u'baboker. Twice a day we recite Kriya Shema at night and in the morning. Shenemar u'v'shachro v'kumecha. When we go to sleep and when we wake up. B'shah shederech b'ni adam shokhvin v'zehu alayla. What does it mean when you go to sleep? It means at the time. It doesn't mean when you lie down. It means when you go to sleep. And that's the night time. U'b'shah shederech b'ni adam omdim v'zehu yom. Says the Rambam in Halacha Beis, Umahu Korei. What is the mitzvah? The Rambam knew the other opinions. So the Rambam is saying, what is the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? Shlosha Parshios. All three parshas of Kriya Shema is Daraisa. Elohein, Shema, Pahim Shemoa, and Vayomer. That's the mitzvah Daraisa according to the Rambam, all three parshas. Says Rav Chaim Salvechik, let's put the two Rambams together. There's one Rambam that says does not count the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as a separate mitzvah each and every day of the year. It's missing. It's lost. Where does the Rambam put the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every day? Says Reb Chaim, the Rambam tells us. You just got to know where to look. The Rambam is the only one who says that all three parshas of Kriya Shema each and every day is part of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema. The reason we recite the third parasha of Kriya Shema is because of the last pasuk. Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher otseisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Says Reb Chaim, the mitzvah, the Rambam does count the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's just included in another mitzvah. It's included in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, the mitzvah that we have every day of accepting God's yoke upon us. How can you accept God's yoke upon ourselves if we don't remember the moment that God made us His nation? Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim includes Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the two Rambam's opinions are consistent. He's the only one who counts all three parshas of Kriya Shema as a mitzvah d'oraisa. But that's because he thinks that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering Mitzrayim each and every day, is part of that mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And that's why it's hidden. It's not its own mitzvah, like Sipur is. But it's part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is counted in the Rambam in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So to summarize, we now have five differences between the mitzvah that we do each and every day of our life and the mitzvah that we get to do once a year this Wednesday night. The mitzvah of Sipur is a mitzvah to tell over to others. It's a mitzvah to say it in question and answer form. It's a mitzvah to go through the entire process. Start from the beginning, go past Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Makos, Avadim Hayinu, all the way through. It's a mitzvah to say the ta'amim, the reasons, and appreciate the hashkafa behind what happened. And also, it's its own unique mitzvah, not included in any other mitzvah. Unlike Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is included in Kriya Shema, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is its own unique mitzvah. That's part one. Appreciating Sipur as it relates to Zechira. Now we get to the second part, which we'll spend most of our time on. And that is appreciating Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim by analyzing the Haggadah. And sometimes we go through the Haggadah, we all have wonderful thoughts to say over, our children have wonderful thoughts to say over, oh, I have a good word on this paragraph, on that paragraph, we'll try to fit in the time, who's going to talk when, you're allowed to save some for the daytime meals also, right? You heard it here, you're allowed to say different Torah by the daytime meals also, doesn't have to be all at the Seder, there are seven meals, including Shalosh Shudas, the 3-day Yontif, so we could also say different Torah in the day meals. But is there any type of structure that we can think about as we focus on the Haggadah? I don't think they were going to make a Haggadah. I don't think they gave out those pages, but most of us hopefully will remember the structure. What exactly is the structure of the Haggadah as we go through Avadim Hayinu, and we go through Mitchilo Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayavaseinu, we get to the Psukim, Tseu Lamad, Mikra Bikurim, Dayenu, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, the three things, Hallel. What exactly is the structure? Is it all haphazard? Does each thing, each paragraph exist by itself? Or is there some kind of structure that we can take with us and we'll know where we're starting from and where we're going to? One other question that hopefully we'll answer as we go through. We notice at the end of Magid, we start saying Hallel. Without a bracha, we say Hallelujah, Hallelujah Abdi Hashem, we say B'teis Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden after the first two paragraphs we take a break. We end Magid and we have a meal. And then Hallel picks up after the Suda. We start with Lavanu after the Suda. Why exactly is Hallel split up? It's the only time of year we have such a thing. Why is Hallel broken in the middle? Two paragraphs and the rest we say for either say it all beforehand or all afterwards. We're supposed to say Hallel. We say Hallel in Shul on Pesach night. We say it all together. Say Hallel the next morning in Shul. We say it all together. All of a sudden at Pesach night we break Hallel up in the middle. What exactly is meant by the breaking up? Is it broken up in any specific way that is meant to teach us something? Let's keep that in mind for a little bit later. Suggested Rav Salvechik, and a lot of what we're going to say now is based on his words, some not. I'll mention when it's his. Rav Soloveitchik suggests that the Magid really has three separate parts to it. The first part, from Avadim Hayinu, again, yeah. You have, right, the back page is going to be a summary, so it'll be, the back page is going to be a summary, basically, of the six parts. As you see all the way on the back page, I got that in for you. But the actual Haggadah, having that will help you out as well. You can keep in mind the end, Yesodos and narrative, as we'll see. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that the Haggadah, the Magid, is broken up into three parts. First, we have Yesodos Ha'emunah. We lay down certain declarations of faith. Certain yesodos, certain tenets that we believe, that we feel we must declare as we approach this mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That goes from Avadim Hayinu through Vehisha Amda. We'll have six yesodos that we are declaring. Then comes Seol Lamad. We start darshaning the psukim. We mention Mikra Bikurim. We retell the story through the psukim and the Medrashei Chazal of the Torah. That's part two. The part of the Haggadah that we usually run through. But it's getting late and we want to make sure to finish. But we'll have to appreciate that part of the Haggadah as well. And finally, the third part of Magid is Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, the Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror, leading into the first two paragraphs of Hallel. That is our reaction to what we have declared. The Hallel, the praise, the overflowing outpouring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the general structure, as we will now delve into it a little deeper. Again, the Yesodos HaEmunah, the narrative, the Mikra Bikurim, and then finally ending with Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer and the Hallel. What are the Yesodos HaEmunah that we are declaring at the beginning of the Haggadah? Six Yesodos that we say at the beginning of our mitzvah, our unique mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is what I believe, this is what I know, is part of the mitzvah. Avadim Hayinu. Again, Halach Ma'ani is an introductory paragraph. Manishtana asks the questions. Avadim Hayinu really starts the crux of the mitzvah of Sipur. Avadim Hayinu b'parah b'mitzrayim. Says Rav Soloveitchik. And again, this marker was found afterwards. So really, between number 6 and 7, we're going to go to source 20, which is from a new sefer just put out in English recently. Festival of Freedom from Rav Soloveitchik. Put out from some of his drushes. It's a compilation from elsewhere as well. But he discusses it there too. Avadim Hayinu b'paro b'mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. Ask Rav Soloveitchik, why does it say Avadim Hayinu l'paro and not Avdei Paro Hayinu? Is there a difference between Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves, l'paro, compared to Avdei Paro Hayinu? If you look in the Torah, when it describes Paro's servants, the Egyptian servants, it calls them Avdei Paro. Afterwards, when we are redeemed, we are called Avdei Hashem. We're not called Avadim Lashem. Avdei Hashem. So why do we specifically say Avadim Hayinu l'paro b'mitzrayim and not Avdei Paro Hayinu? Says Rav Soloveitchik, Avadim Hayinu l'paro means it didn't go to our core. It wasn't part of us. We didn't totally identify with Paro. We were there. It was a socio-economic situation. Avadim Hayinu, Liparo. He was our master. He subjugated us. But we were not Avdei Paro. There were Avdei Paro, the Egyptians, but that was not us. When we were redeemed, we became Avdei Hashem. That became part of our identification. Says Rav Soloveitchik, in the fourth paragraph in that source, the Jews in Egypt were slaves in a political, economic sense. They were also enslaved existentially, but they did not completely lose their love of freedom and their spiritual heritage. Had they been totally Paro's slaves, and not just slaves to Paro, they would never have been liberated. They would have lost their personality and their quest for freedom. Even in the crucible of oppression, the Jews did not completely forfeit their dignity and sense of loyalty. They remained the children of the patriarchs, hoping and praying for a better future. Since slavery had not corrupted them fully, the great miracle of the Exodus could take place. Avadim Hayinu l'paro, but not Avdei Paro. Rav Soloveitchik said, maybe this also explains beautifully the first time God reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember the story in Parsha Shmos? Moshe Rabbeinu is shepherding the sheep, and all of a sudden he sees the burning bush. Goes to find one of his sheep, he sees the burning bush. Many of the Mefarshim are bothered. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose this way of revelation to Moshe? Out of all the ways he could have appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, a burning bush? Okay, and the miracle, the outside is this fire, it's not burning in the middle. Why specifically this? Says the Rav, the last time Moshe Rabbeinu had any experience with Jews, they almost got him killed. Remember why he had to run away from Midian? Moshe Rabbeinu must have been thinking to himself, these people deserve to be redeemed. These Jews, they appear to me that they are like Avdei Paro Hayinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, it's burning, but the inside is whole. The inside is not burning. Avadim Hayinu L'Paro. They were not Avdei Paro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, they go, they deserve to be redeemed. Go back and take out my people, because it didn't go to their core. They're not burning inside. They're not identified with Paro inside. Avde Hashem we became, but earlier we were just Avadim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. So the first Yisod we declare at the Haggadah is Avadim Hayinu L'Paro. We were slaves to Paro, but we never lost our core. There is a connected source I gave you. It's a tragic source, but it's a source nonetheless. There's a whole five-volume Tshuva Sefer called Tshuvas Mima'amakim. Tshuvas from the depths, going back to source number 7. Tshuvas Mima'amakim, written by Rav Ashri, written in one of the ghettos. The questions that were asked during the Holocaust, during World War II. It's unbelievable shilas that were asked. Just the questions, without even looking at the answers. The fact that the questions were asked is an inspiration. The fact that the answers were given in such a halachic way is an inspiration. One of the questions were, in source number 7, somebody was saying the brachas, Birchas HaShachar, one morning in the ghetto. And he got up to the bracha of Shelo Asani Eved. And he turns to Rav Ashri and says, I can't say this. How could I say this? I am an Eved. I'm an Eved. How could I say Shelo Asani Eved? And many of the people in the minyan there are saying, you can't say it. You can't say it. We are Avadim. How can we say Shelo Asani Eved? Rachmano Litzlan. Look what our life is. Look what situation we're in. So they turn to Rav Ashri and they say, Rebbe Paskin for us. Can we say it or can we not say it? The story is source number 7. Ube'is filas ha-bokir k'shashas Rav Avram Yosef Hashem yikodamo hiska lomer z'berchas ha-shachar be'imbo v'yira. He starts saying the brachas mihishigia le'berchas Shelo Asani Eved kara b'kol ma'al adon ha-adoni mikol to Hashem. How can we say this bracha of Shelo Asani Eved? It's not true. They asked, this went on, many of the people agreed with him. Go to the third paragraph, Tshuva, says Rav Ashri, I'll tell you the answer. She'ela zu niftacha b'gdolim. The Shaila was already asked to the Abu Draham, one of the great Rishonim, by somebody who was taken captive in those times. And the questioner asked the Abu Draham, can I say it? And says the Abu Draham and Rav Ashri says it again as well in World War II, you can still say the bracha of Shelo Asani Eved. You might be Avadim, but you're not Avdei. They didn't change your core, they didn't change your mahus. No matter what situation a Jew is in, he's an Eved Hashem. He's not Avadim to anybody else, even though the situation on the outside might dictate. The bush might be burning, but inside it's whole. And inside, there's still the pintaliyid, Avadim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim, and not Avdei Paro Hayinu. And that exists in every Rachmana Litzlan Shoah and subjugation that the Jews go through throughout history. The first Yisod Ha'amunah that we say at the Seder is Avadim Hayinu L'Paro. Hashem, we know that the reason that we were redeemed was because we didn't lose our core. We didn't lose inside who we were. Next paragraph in the Haggadah, Maisa B'Rabbi Eliezer. The story of the five great rabbis in Bnei Brak who studied Torah all night until their students had to come and tell them, Rebbe, it's time to daven. Time to daven. Unbelievable. They were so involved in the mitzvah. Source number 8, turning over. Again, Sezer of Soloveitchik in a different source now. In the Haggadah they put out posthumously of his thoughts, the Siach HaGrid. What is this paragraph doing here? What do we have to know that there were great rabbis that studied that said Sibur Tzis Mitzrayim all night? What does that teach us? They did it. We know every rabbi did it. Sezer of Soloveitchik, you know what the Baal HaGad is teaching us? End of the second line. Shabal Hagada Hevi Maisa Zeshala Tanaim. Kedela Havi Raya Dildvar Bikodem. The Baal Haggadah here is teaching us what this mitzvah is all about. And connecting to the previous line, the Kalamar B'lasavar B'yisriyas B'sraim B'arayzim Meshubach. At the end of Avada Mayinu we said, whoever says a lot of Sipur, that's praiseworthy. Sharei Atanam Hir B'lasaper. They put their all into it, B'yisriyas B'sraim. Etc., etc. Three lines for the bottom. V'davar Zetzarach Amo V'yagiyah B'kedarka Shal Torah. We have to really give it our all in order to fulfill this mitzvah. And therefore the Baal Haggadah puts it in to say, this is the ultimate way to fulfill the mitzvah. To give it your all. To lose track of time. To totally be asuk in the mitzvah that we're doing. Remember, this is not Zechira. This is Sipur. We have to totally get into it. We have to lose ourselves. So the second yisod is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know what this mitzvah is about. We know that we have to give it our all. We know what these Rabbanan did in Bnei Brak, and we're going to try to do our best. So number one, Avdei Paro, they were not. They didn't lose their core. Number two, we know what this mitzvah is about. We're going to do our best to fulfill it. That's what I also gave you. The Maharal and his Agada write something similar also, that they enjoyed it. This wasn't painful for them. This wasn't tsar. They enjoyed it. They lost themselves because they were having tremendous oneg being involved. So that's Avada Mayinu. That's the five rabbis, which continue. The next paragraph after that is Amar Rabbi ben Azariah, Harei Kivin Shivim Shana. So many of them about Haggadahs have a Vav there, Va'amar, because it's really a connected story. So, Rav Soloveitchik, maybe that could be one big paragraph. But then the next paragraph gets into Baruch HaMakom. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is the next stage of the Haggadah. We're up to Yisod number three. Question is asked, why is the name HaMakom used here? We know Hashem has many names. Yudke Vavke, Shakai, Elokim. Why is HaMakom used here? HaMakom is also used in certain other areas. Chumana Islam, somebody goes to a Beis HaAvel, HaMakom Yenachem Eschem B'Sof Shar Avei L'Tzion Yerushalayim. When we say Tehillim, after Tehillim, when we say Acheinu, Achenu, we say HaMakom Yerachem, right? We say HaMakom there too. Why HaMakom? By a Beis Avel. Why HaMakom when we're asking for Achmanis on Klal Yisrael? Why HaMakom here as a prelude to the Dalet Banim? Again, suggested Rav Soloveitchik, this was also said by Rav Schwab, in source number 10, Upirish Rabbeinu, Shatam HaDavar, Shahashem Makom Hu Kinui Lashem, B'Shas Hester Panim. HaMakom symbolizes Hashem is everywhere. HaMakom, the place. HaMakom is the name that we use when somebody might feel distant from God. When somebody might feel Hester Panim. Hashem's not near me. Hashem's not holding my hands. We say, don't worry, Hashem is there. Baruch HaMakom. HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. There's no greater Hester Panim than losing a relative. HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. When they're at Saris V'Klal Yisrael. When there's a terrorist attack and we all gather together and say, Achenu, we say, HaMakom Yerachem Aleihem, because we don't see Hashem. There's Hester Panim, so we say, HaMakom. So at the Haggadah, as we're about to speak about all Jews, whoever they are, wherever they might be on their spiritual ladder, Echad Chacham, Echad Tam, Echad Rasha, Echad She'eni Yodei L'Shol, wherever one is, wherever one might be, or wherever one hopes to be, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know you have a relationship with everybody. We know you connect to everybody on their own level. And that's part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We all connect to Hashem wherever we are in the world. Writes Rav Soloveitchik in the third paragraph, V'raya l'davar sh'ashem ha'makom misyachis l'Hashem b'shas Hester. What's the raya that the Shem Makom relates to Hashem b'shas Hester panim? Sh'omim l'chole, ha'makom yirachim alecha, b'song sh'achol Yisrael. Achole, somebody who's sick, that's the language you say. V'chei b'nichem avelim, ha'makom yirachim eschem, etc. Because at times of sickness and times of tragedy, Rahman al-Islam, we feel ha'makom, or we need to feel that ha'makom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is everywhere. So the third yisod is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know you connect to every Jew and you fill space. And we know you're everywhere. And we know that's also part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we have Avadim Hayinu L'Paro. We have the story of the rabbis. We're going to give it our all. We have Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, which leads into the Dalet Banim. Then we have Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh. Next paragraph, yisod number four. Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh. I might have thought that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim starts earlier from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Tamid Lomar, by Yom Ahu. No, don't think that the mitzvah is specifically this night. What exactly is the message of this paragraph? The Jewish calendar demands various emotions from us at different times of the year. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur demand certain emotions. Trepidation, Yira, Sukkot demands Simcha, Purim has its demands. Every holiday, every day of the year has different demands. We acknowledge in Yochamei Rosh Chodesh, we realize the special quality of this night as well. We realize that this night, Yochamei Rosh Chodesh, no, it's not earlier. There's one night of the year that this mitzvah takes place. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is specifically Leil Pesach. And we know what it's about. Liros es Atzmo. We know it's a high standard, a high order that we're up against. But we're going to try to do our best. Yochamei Rosh Chodesh, Tamalomer by Yom Ahu. It's tonight. Tonight is the special mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we're going to try to do it as best as we can. And it's different than Zechira, as we mentioned. It's Sipur, and it's only tonight. B'shash yesh matzah u'marar munachim lefanecha. At the time when matzah and marar are lying in front of us. Yochamei Rosh Chodesh, I understand the special potential and quality of the night. Second to last, then the paragraph continues. We go into Mitzchilo of the Avodah Zarah HaYavaseinu. We start giving a Jewish history lesson. We know our forefathers were of the Avodah Zarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us, and the Rispin Abasarim, and Baruch Shomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, fulfilled His promise to us. Why do we mention this now? Why all of a sudden are we mentioning Jewish history? Says the Rambam in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim, the source number 11. The Rambam there also, at the beginning of his halachic work in Mishneh Torah, there are very few places in Mishneh Torah where the Rambam writes in story-like form. Only a few times. One of them is in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim at the beginning of the Halachos, where he writes the history of Avodah Zarah, the history of the beginning of the Jewish people. The Rambam writes, after Adam, the generations went, after Noach, people started worshipping the sun, the moon, the trees, and it was terrible. Nobody believed in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore, everybody forgot about them, until Avraham Avinu. In Halacha Gimel, writes the Rambam, the second source there, in 11, once Avram Avinu started, he started to wonder in his mind, and he started to think by day and night. He wondered, how could this world exist without a manhig, without somebody driving the world? There's got to be somebody behind this world. The sun goes up, oh, the sun's the god. The sun leaves, the moon comes up, oh, the moon's the god. The moon leaves, the sun comes back. What's going on here? Says Avram Avinu. There must be something greater. There must be somebody pressing the buttons, putting it all into motion. And finally he realizes it, and he's mushka, v'lo hayalo malamid, v'lo modia davar, ela mushka b'or kastim. Avram Avinu is surrounded by idol worshippers. Bein ovdi kochavim atipshim, I'm on the third line. V'aviv v'imo, v'chalham ovdi kochavim, v'hu ovedi mahem. Says the Rambam, Avram Avinu also did Avodah Zarah. They were all worshipping, they were all mushka, they were all steeped in this. We can't even fathom it, we can't understand it, because the Gemara already says that we don't have any more a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. But we have our own Yetziraras, but this was the times. Until, V'libi Meshoti, to maybe the end of line 3, actually, Hisik Derech HaEmes, until Avram Avinu realized, the first monotheist in the world, he started spreading the religion, he started spreading tradition, and Judaism, the seeds of Judaism, were born. In Avraham HaIvri. On the night of the Seder, when we're talking about the birth of our nation, we also talk about the birth of our beliefs. And the birth of the first person who believed in what we believe in. We invoke Avraham Avinu. Mitzchila ovdi Avodah Zarah HaYavaseinu. We realize it didn't start at Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's when it started on a national level. But it started thousands of years earlier. We remember the roots. We remember Avram Avinu's spiritual parade trying to spread the Dvar Hashem throughout the world. He was the only one. We started individually with Avram Avinu. We started nationally at Yetzias Mitzrayim. We remember our roots. We mention Avram Avinu. That's Mitzchila of the Avodah Zarah, and that's Baruch Shomer, Haftachas Li Yisrael. And finally, the last Yisod that we mentioned in this part, first part of Magid, Vehisha Amda. We cover the matzahs, we lift up the coast. That's how you know. Whenever you lift up the coast, you cover the matzahs. It's not haphazard. You always got to follow in the Haggadah. You lift up the coast by Vehisha Amda, you cover the matzahs. V'hisham delavoseinu v'lanu. This is what has stood for us for all the generations. What is the v'hi? That is the big question. This has stood us in over time. V'hisham delavoseinu v'lanu. So some of the Bali Drash say it's the v'hi. It's the vav and the hay and the yud and the aleph. The Shisha Sidra Mishnah, the Hey is Chamishi Chumshei Torah, the Yud is the Aseres Adibras, Aleph is belief in Hashem. So Vehi, those five alluded to in the word Vehi. Then many others are given as well. Maybe one could suggest Vehi Sha'amda Labosenu V'lanu is going on what follows. What does Vehi Sha'amda talk about? Shelo Echad Bilvad Amad Aleinu L'chaloseinu Elo Shebechol Dar Vadar Omdem Aleinu L'chaloseinu V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu Matzichleinu Miyadam. Anti-Semitism. As we go through the Haggadah and we think about the terrible situation that Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, and it was terrible. We think about it. Forget it. It's always nice to try to get one of those Haggadahs that have real graphic pictures of what took place. It was terrible. The Shibud, we didn't have a second. We were out in the fields building these towers that we know the next day was built on quicksand, so they would sink into the ground. We wouldn't even be able to feel good about ourselves. We always like to feel accomplished. Whatever we do. So it was like we would work very hard. We go back the next day. It wasn't even there. It was even psychological torture. It was terrible in Mitzrayim. So we might think, as we get into the mitzvah of Sipur, where's the justice? How is, you know, what's anti-Semitism throughout the ages? The Hisha Amdalavosein of Alana. We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we realize this is part of the Bria. How is it part of the Bria? Rice Rabbi Forst. Rabbi Forst, who is famous for his Sefer on Hilchas Nida. He also has Sefer on Hilchas Kashrus. In Source number 12, he has a small kuntris, or smaller than his English work, called Pisfei Halacha. And in his Hakdama, where he talks about all the different halachas of Bishol Akum and Chalav Akum and Stam Yenam and Pas Akum, all those halachas he writes as a background. Kasev B'Torah HaKadosha Odos Klal Yisrael. He writes in the Torah, Hein An Lavadad Yishkonev Agayim Lois Chashav. Am Yisrael is different than all the other nations of the world. Klomar Yisrael Hu Umal Lavada Ve'inam Isarevis Imshar Ha'umos. The Jewish people are meant to be a nation unto themselves, not mixed in. That is part of the Bria. That's part of the Teva of the Bria for Jews to be a Mamlechas Kohanim B'Goy Kadosh, for us to be an Orla Goyim. Tachlisam Shel B'nei Yisrael Yus Muvdalim. The Tachlis of our existence is to be separate. Ki Einam Masigim Shleimusam. Ach V'rak B'yosem Nifradim Min Ha'umos. We do not achieve our ultimate goal except if we're separate. Vidvarim Bashem Vaz Masikim Shlemusam Ach Virak Biosam Nifradim in Umos Vidvekim Bashem Vaz Masikim Hemes Matarasam. Our goal is to be a Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. If we don't do that, but if there's intermixing and intermingling and hit arvut, right to right force where it says Os Dalid Nimsa Shekirvas Yisrael Umos Mazika Lahemu La'olam. If we are intermixed and these boundaries are not set, it hurts us. And it hurts everybody else as well. We are not fulfilling our purpose of being an Orla Goyim, and everyone else, the Umot HaOlam, are not fulfilling their purpose to be led, to be taught, to be inculcated with certain values. Continues Rabbi Forrest in Os Hay, Al Kain, Tava HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'tchunos Umot HaOlam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into the Bria of the world. The world cannot go on to exist for eternity in a way where the Jews and the Umot HaOlam will be intermixed. At some point in history, there will be a separation. And that's why Esav Sone Liyakov is a part of the Bria. Esav Sone Liyakov has to be. As Rav Chaim Balazhin once said, if a Jew doesn't make Kiddush, the Umos Ha'olam make Havdalah. We have to be Mekadish ourselves. If we sanctify ourselves, if we make our own lives special and sanctified and unique, that's the Tachlis Ha'olam. So we say in V'hisha Amda Abaseinu V'lanu, what is it? Shelo Echad Bilvad Amad Aleinu L'chaloseinu, every generation. There's been a Stalin, there's been Hitlers, there's been Paros, there's been Amaleks. Every generation. There's been Crusades. But we realize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all part of the divine plan. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyadam. As we are involved in this mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we realize what it's all about. As we look at back in Jewish history, as we see the tragedies, but we also see the triumphs. And we realize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're behind us all the way. And your hand is guiding us throughout history. This is the first part of Magid. 60 sodos that we lay down. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it didn't go to their roots. They were Avadim Hayinu Lapar. And again, you have a summary of it on the last page in the back. Avadim Hayinu is Avadim Shel Velo Avdei. Number two was Ma'aseh Elazar, number was Nazariah. Is Kulo Asuk. We were totally involved in what we were doing. We lost track of time. Baruch HaMakom, that's Shem Hashem, is a symbol of Hester Panim. Right, it symbolizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is related to everybody, wherever they are. Yochel Mirash Chodesh, that's the uniqueness of the night. We realize it's special. Number five, Yitzchilo of the Avodah Zarah, we invoke Avram Avinu, the birth of the first Jew, not on the night of the birth of the Jewish nation. And V'hisha Amda, related to anti-Semitism and everything that entails in V'hisha Amda. That is part one of Magid. Once we've laid down the Yesodos, now we can get into the story. Now we can actually tell over the psukim of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And yet, when we look in the Haggadah, the psukim that we quote and we darshan are not from Sefer Shmos, where you would have thought they were from, but they're from Parshas Kisavo, tucked away at the end of the Torah, in source number 13. The psukim that we read by Mikra Bikurim, when we bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, we retell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And everyone asks, why don't we just read psukim from Parshas Shmos? That's the locus classicus, right? That's the place where we would think that we should tell over the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why do we pick an unusual makar? Yes, it discusses Yitzias Mitzrayim. But why do we pick Parshas Kisavo and not Sefer Shmos? So again, many answers are given. The Malbim says practically it's too long. Haggadah will take too long if you say over Sefer Shmos. Others suggest, the Klozenberger Rebbe once said that we don't want to mention Moshe Rabbeinu. As we know, a whole separate topic, Moshe Rabbeinu is only mentioned Derech Agav as a side reference in the Haggadah. Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned. Tonight's a focus on Hashem. We don't want to mention Moshe Rabbeinu. So in Shmos, you have to mention Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a main player. You can't get out of it. In Devarim, he's not mentioned. So we don't want to mention Moshe Rabbeinu. The Klozenberger Rebbe continues that maybe why don't we want to mention Moshe Rabbeinu? Because we want to make sure that every generation knows that they're roi to be redeemed. You don't need a Moshe Rabbeinu to be redeemed. Every generation is roi to be redeemed. Maybe that's the reason why we don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu. Either way, those are other reasons given. Says Rav Soloveitchik, though, maybe there's a positive reason, not just because we don't want to mention Shmos, maybe there's a positive reason why Mikra Bikurim is mentioned. Mikra Bikurim and Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim are parallel. They both represent mitzvos, declarations of Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim is Hakaras HaTov for Hashem taking us out. He took us out of Mitzrayim. Mikra Bikurim, look at the psukim in source number 13, right? Source, Pasuk Tes. What's the end of Mikra Bikurim? We talk about the final stage of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vayivienu al makom hazeh, vayitein lanu es haaretz hazot, eretz zavas chalav udvash. It's also Hakaras HaTov on the last step of the process. Knisa l'eretz Yisrael. So Sipur and Mikra have a special relationship with each other. Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim is Hakaras HaTov for step one of the process. Mikra Bikurim is Hakaras HaTov for the last step of the process, going into Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Soloveitchik, Chazal must have looked at Mikra Bikurim in the Torah and said, this must be how we're supposed to express our Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this process. Mikra Bikurim and Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim are the same thing. Is just a difference of emphasis. Do you emphasize? Do you explicate the first step of the process? That would be Sefer Shmos. Or do you explicate the last step of the process? Knisa l'Eretz Yisrael. Chazal said the Torah itself tells us how to express our gratitude to Hashem. Mikra Bikurim. So what? That is only on the last stage, Knisa l'Eretz Yisrael. But that's the expression the Torah tells us to use. So that is why it's specifically appropriate. It's not just because we don't want to use Sefer Shmos. There's a positive reason why we want to use Mikra Bikurim. Because that's Hakaras HaTov for the process. All the way from Yitzias Mitzrayim, but also inclusive of Knisa L'Eretz. The Hevesi, as we say. The Hevesi L'Eretz. That is why Chazal chose this Mikra Bikurim to be the psukim that express the story of Magid, the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. As we continue now, we're towards the end of Magid. So before we get to the first part of Hallel, which the Rav Soloveitchik is going to discuss, before that we have a major part of Haggadah also. We have Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. Kol Shlo Amar Shlosha Dvarim Lo Yatsi De Chavaso. You have to say, Pesach Matzah Maror. Al Shumah, as we spoke about earlier. So what? How does that flow in our structure? We have the 60 sodos. We told over the story with the psukim, and now we get to the gimel dvarim, Pesach Matzah Umaror. So I thought maybe it could be connected to a nefesh achayim. Turning over the page, in source number 16. Again, the sources that we're not reading, feel free to read afterwards. Source number 16. Rav Chaim Ivalazhin writes that in Yahados, many times we have spiritual feelings. We're inspired. We feel close to Hashem. Feelings can never end as feelings, writes Rav Chaim Ivalazhin. It always has to be concretized and crystallized in Maisa Mitzvos. That was the chait of the Egel. They had tremendous feelings of spirituality, but they didn't do a mitzvah. They crystallized it into an avodah zarah. Every feeling, every inspiring feeling and spiritual inspiration that we get must be crystallized into Maisa Mitzvos. As the Nefesh HaChaim writes on the second line of Source 16, Shoheikar b'chala mitzvos hu chelak ha-maisa, v'taras ha-machshava eina elements tarefes l'maisa. The kavana, the machshava, is secondary. Ula mitzvah v'lo li'ikuva. Even if one doesn't have perfect kavana, you do the mitzvah. That's the ikar. It must be concretized. So as we're getting spiritually uplifted, and we've mentioned the 60 sodos, and we've finally gone through this sori, Yesias Mitzrayim, through this psukim and parshas Kisavo, we anchor ourselves. We concretize those feelings. Pesach, matzah, maror, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're grounded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we realize that all of these spiritual feelings must be translated into Maisa HaMitzvos. Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, that's why that goes there in the Magid. As we're heading towards the finish line, and now we're up to the first two paragraphs of Halah, which is the end, the culmination of Magid. And again, we ask the question that we started off with. Why is Halah broken up? Why do we only mention the first two paragraphs of Halah at the end of Magid? And then only after the Suda, we mention the rest, Lo Lanu, and the continuation. Says the Lavush, one of the early Achronim in Source 17, the first two paragraphs discuss Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's why, B'Tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. After that is general. So we want to at least fit in the first two paragraphs, which discuss Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is what we're focusing on, before, and the rest will finish after. That's what the Lavush suggested. But again, maybe, said Rav Soloveitchik, there's another added dimension. Maybe, again, I don't think the Rav said this, but maybe this is exactly what the Levush means, though, also. The Rav noted that usually in Yahadus, there is no such thing as pure praise. We never say pure Hallel. Every Hallel that we say also has intermixed in it supplication. In the middle of Hallel, we scream out to Hashem, Ana Hashem Oshiyana. That's not praising Hashem. Ana Hashem Aslichana. What is that? That's Hallel. It is Hallel. Because who knows what tomorrow is going to bring. I praise Hashem, but I don't know. Life's ups and downs. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Every time I say Hallel to Hashem, it is intermixed with davening that Kadosh Baruch will keep it going. Because I know how fragile life is. The Shemin HaTov, Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, used to be the Rav of the Young Israel of Williamsburg. He writes in his Sefer, in Source 18, interesting phenomenon. We say a special tefillah on Sukkot called Hoshanas. Hoshana, Laman Chalokeinu, Hoshana. What does Hoshanas mean? Hashem, save us, Laman Chalokeinu. Because of you, Laman Chabareinu, Hashem, save us. We do it 7 times in Hoshana Rabbah. Sukkot is Man Simchaseinu. What do we say Hoshanas for on Sukkot? We should say Hoshana's on Rosh Hashanah. Hoshana, save us. We missed it by a couple days. Saved by Yom Kippur. What do we say Hoshana's for on Sukkot? Says the Shemana Tov, no, that's the point. Because there's never pure praise. Even on Zman Simchaseinu, we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we realize we don't know what life brings. We say Hoshana's even on Sukkot. At the height of our ecstasy, we say Hoshana's. Because who knows? There's never pure praise throughout the year. Says Rav Soloveitchik, there's one exception to that. At the end of Magid. At the end of Magid, when we've just been through the 60 Sodos, when we've just said over the story, Chayiv Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki Ilu Hu Yatamim, we've gone out of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we've reached that stage, we've fulfilled the mitzvah. At that moment in time, a human being could leave reality. At that moment in time, we could leave our fixed boundaries, jump out of reality and praise Hashem purely. Because we've just gone out. We only say the first two paragraphs of Hallel, because those two have pure praise. That's what's appropriate at the end of Hallel. At the end of Magid, writes the Rav in Source 19 from Noros Harav. We could thus understand why Hallel was divided in such a manner. In the first part of the Haggadah, beginning with the Kiddush element of Tefillah, was not introduced at all. We have no Tefillos throughout Magid. After the completion of the narration, Erev Gamliel, we say Chayav Adam Leros. We are therefore obligated to thank and offer our praise to God. On the Seder night, Jews have only one duty, to glorify, extol, and praise God. They have no other duty. There is no room for petition and Tefillah. We must forget for a while that we are human beings, and that after Yetzias Mitzrayim, we went through numerous historical experiences, many of which were not very pleasant. We must forget that we were avadim in numerous other lands. We must forget that we offered millions of sacrifices. We must forget all of the blood and the martyrdom. We say Hallel purely and exclusively to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how Magid ends. Baruch atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael. After the Suda, after we eat, now Yetzias Mitzrayim is finished. Now, all of a sudden, we speak about the Geula. Eliyahu HaNavi comes after the Suda. Why do we have that kos then? Because during Magid, nothing's missing. During Magid, things are perfect. After we've been through what we've been through, we have total appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ultimate combination of Hallel. And then afterwards, how does the Hallel start off after the Suda? Shvoch HaMascha El Hagoy Mashal Yida'ucha. Now we're back to reality. Now we realize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save us from all the tzaris. We realize we don't have the ultimate redemption yet. We realize Eliyahu HaNavi is not here yet. We open the door, Hashem, we need you. Nishmas kol chai tavarech Hashimcha. We say Nishmas afterwards, Hashem, everybody should recognize you. That's all in Hallel and Nirtza. But it's not in Magid. Because Magid, we leave reality. Magid, everything is perfect. It's unlike any other praise throughout the year. And maybe that's what the Levush means. Only focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim, because that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to purely focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's it. Don't focus on what happened afterwards. Appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us on this night of the year. So we start off talking about the 60 Yesodos. We get a Yesod, which is summarized for you on the back, from the first part of Magid. We continue the Mikra Bikurim, expressing our Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yetzias Mitzrayim and Knisa L'Eretz Yisrael. We concretize it and ground ourselves in Maisa HaMitzvos, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, and finally we end off with the first part of Hallel, which is pure ecstasy, appreciating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. It's our goal, this Wednesday night and every year, on Leil Tezvav Nisan, to, as Rav Pinkas started off with, to get on that airplane and to go up. Not to stay near the window and watch the other planes go, but to appreciate the difference between Sipur and Zechira, the unique mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night, all that it entails, and try to internalize all the messages that the Baal Haggadah made in this perfect structure to take us through the journey of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. May we all be zoche and to internalize all these messages and to be zoche to a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.